Last Sunday morning, we moved to Galatians chapter number 5, where he asked the Galatian Christians, as he's coming to the end of that book, he's encouraging them, some of the things that I've taught you, to live in light of those things that I've taught you. And he says to the Galatian Christians, ye did run well. There was a time when you were running well. You started well. But Paul's desire is that they would finish well. And so he encourages them in Galatians 5. Remember, we said this as we drew that message to a close that Sunday morning, last Sunday, that he encourages them to stand fast, therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made them free. And then towards the middle of the chapter of Galatians, chapter number 5, he talks to them about walking in the Spirit. And when you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So he's encouraging them, hey, you started off the race well. Someone's hindered you. We understand that those were false teachers that had hindered them and false teaching that had hindered them. But he says, he encourages them, hey, I want you to stand fast. I want you to live in light of some of the things that I've taught you. And I want you to walk in the Spirit and finish the race well so that you can obtain the prize. And what we were talking about last Sunday morning was just that thought of hindrance in the race. And last Sunday night, we dealt with a hindrance in our Christian race, and we talked about discouragement. Everyone can get to a place where they're discouraged, and so we want to make sure that we don't stay in a place of discouragement very long. And so to move past that and be encouraged in the Lord, be encouraged in His Word, and let's encourage one another as well. And then we talked this morning, and we're going to finish the second part of this evening, we talked about the hindrance of doubt. The hindrance of doubt. And we read some passages this morning in Matthew, and then we read a passage in Mark, and we talked about how that Jesus took that fig tree and it was withered, and he talked to the disciples about how that they could have power if they put their faith in the Lord to see God do some great things and to answer some great prayers. And then in the book of Mark, we talked about how that he was encouraging them to have the faith in which will allow you to even move mountains. To say to this mountain, be removed, and God can give you the faith that can even move mountains. He encouraged them to stay away from doubt. Remember in Matthew and Mark, he mentioned the word doubt, to not allow doubt to hinder you in the race. And then we went to James chapter number 1, and we talked about how that James chapter number 1 encourages us not to let our faith waver. We're not to doubt, not to be like the wind on the sea when the waves are tossed to and fro, not to have a faith that is up and down and hot and cold and hit and miss and back and forth, but to have a strong faith, although we did say this morning that there are times, there are moments when we can question our faith. We can even get to a place where we second guess what we believe. So a few of the things that we said this morning that lead us to the thought tonight, we said there are three different reasons why we can even doubt our salvation. We talked about how that it is possible to doubt our salvation because there's never been a time where we've trusted Christ as Savior. So sometimes doubts can come in just because of the fact that we've never asked Jesus to be our Savior. So we could doubt our salvation for that reason. We could also doubt our salvation because the relationship's there, but the fellowship is not there. Because sin is standing in the way. And we use the Bible verse this morning, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We can't cover our sins, but confess it. And he says, we'll have great mercy if we confess our sins. And David even talked about how that he asked God to restore unto me, he said, the joy of my salvation, so that I can have that fellowship again. The relationship never goes away. Aren't you thankful for that? We're in his hand, and that's where we're going to stay. But fellowship can be hindered when we sin and we leave it unconfessed and we regard it or harbor it and ignore it and act as if it's not even there. And then we said there's another reason we can doubt our salvation, because we base it on feelings instead of the facts of God's Word, instead of our faith, instead of the promises of Scripture. And so let's make sure that we are basing our salvation on our faith and the facts of Scripture, the promises of God's Word. And we'll be able to steer clear of doubt. So when it comes to our salvation, if there's doubt there, again, let's make sure that doubt doesn't linger long. Let's make sure we settle it as we look into God's Word. Perhaps maybe salvation that needs to happen, or sin that needs to be confessed, or just simply to look at the truths of God's word and realize that when he said he loved us enough to die for us, he did it, didn't he? And when he says, if you'll call on me, you can be saved, that's exactly what he means. We can have that gift, can't we? And then we went on to talk about two different types of doubt. There's the type of doubt that was expressed in John. We don't have time to read it tonight, but in John chapter number 12, there were a group of people that even after they saw the great miracles that Jesus had done on earth, the Bible says they believed not. Remember, we talked this morning, there are two types of people in this world, those who believe and those who believe not. And they were the latter group of individuals. They were the ones that had doubt because they were unwilling to believe. Even when they were faced with overwhelming evidence, they had a hard-hearted refusal to believe in God. And we talked about how that it leads to a hardening of the things of God, and really it's a long-term rejection. But then it's possible to doubt, even as a Christian, where our faith, as it says in the book of James, begins to waver. We're halting between belief and unbelief. And we use the passage in Mark chapter number 9 where the father said to Jesus, help thou mine unbelief. I want to see my son healed. I believe, Jesus, help thou mine unbelief. And his son was healed. Jesus was able to remove the questions that he had unanswered. He was able to see the faith that he could put in God. And we talked about how that as Christians, when we doubt, in those moments of doubt, it can many times lead us to search the scripture more. It can lead us to trust God more. But again, it should not be something that is permanent. It ought to be something that is temporary. And so that led us to the question that we're going to finish tonight. We asked this morning in our service, what do we do with doubt? What will you do with your doubt? What will I do with my doubt? Well, I tried to give you at first some Bible illustrations of this. We went to the life of Sarah and Abraham when they were promised that they were going to have a son, and both of them had moments of doubt. They were even asked the question, is anything too hard for God? The answer to that is no. God can do anything, can he? And then we see that there was faith in Sarah, faith enough in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 11 to believe that God said he would do it, and she rested on his promise and she waited for him, and she did have that son. Later in life, the promised son that God had told her she was going to give birth to. Remember, there's all kinds of things we could say about that story, how Abraham tried to rush and almost do things in his own way, really did try to do things in his own way. But then God did keep his promise, didn't he? And Sarah and Abraham were able to have that child. And then we talked about how that John the Baptist had a faith that was wavering even when he was in prison. So much that he had to seek out two of his disciples to go and talk to Jesus. And Jesus sent those disciples back to John the Baptist and said, tell him the things that you've seen. Tell him the many miracles that Jesus has had performed. And John the Baptist, even in prison, waiting for quite a time, his faith even began to waver. And then we talked about the wavering of the faith of the children of Israel when they were coming towards the Red Sea and they see the Egyptians behind them. Remember what Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And he was able to raise his rod, the waters parted, and they walked through on dry ground. And God did give them the victory over the Egyptians and over Pharaoh and his army. So it leads us to the last part of this. And I have just four things I want to share with you tonight. And it's going to answer, again, the second part of this thought here tonight, to answer this question, what is it that we will do with our doubt? What is it that God wants us to do with our doubt? One thing I will say is this, before I get to those four thoughts tonight, God does not want our doubt to hinder us in the race. God doesn't want us to live a life of unbelief and doubt. He doesn't want it to be a hindrance in the Christian race. So what can we do with our doubt? That brings us to Luke chapter number 17, and I want you to look down at verse number 5, of Luke chapter number 17, and I want to key in on three words that the Bible says these disciples said unto Jesus. This is again during his earthly ministry, and many times Jesus is talking about prayer and he's talking about subjects that require our faith. Here's Jesus as he speaks to his disciples, and here's number one that I want to give you tonight. What are we going to do with our doubt? Well, it's something very simple that we do in our Christian life. We ought to do it every single day. It's part of our walk with the Lord. And by the way, we want to press on when it comes to our walk with the Lord. And we want to be disciplined about our walk with the Lord. We want to make sure that we're daily with our walk with the Lord. And so one of the things that we ought to do every single day that will help us dismiss our doubt is to have a time where we spend with God, going to Him in prayer and reading His Word. Simple things, but that'll help us with our doubt, won't it? So number one, go to Him in prayer. Look at what the disciples said here in Luke chapter number 17 and down at verse number 5. And it says, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. It's as simple as going to God, as the disciples show us a great example here, and saying, Lord, I need you to increase my faith. It's a prayer request that I'm asking of you, Lord. Increase my faith. Just like the Father said in the book of Mark, help thou mine unbelief. When we're in times of doubt, we're to ask God for His help. We're to go to Him in prayer. And as simple as these apostles left us a great example, just God, that you would increase my faith. Asking God to increase your faith. And then the second part of that is to go to Him in prayer, but also to go to Him when it comes to His Word. To go to His Word. His Word will help to increase our faith, won't it? His Word will help us to have victory and triumph over doubt. If we ever have a moment of discouragement, we can go to God's Word. If we ever have moments of doubt, we can go to God's Word. And God's Word is there to encourage us and to help us to believe. That's a very familiar verse, but would you turn to Romans chapter number 10? And when you get to Romans chapter 10, if you would look at verse number 17 of Romans 10, it says these words, so then faith cometh by hearing. And then notice what the Bible says, and hearing by the Word of God. That's where our faith is. That's a way to conquer doubt, to go to God in prayer, to ask Him in a simple request like the apostle said, God, I need you to increase my faith. I need my faith to be increased. And then to go to His Word, because the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let's not make it so that doubt creeps up because we're neglecting God's Word. Let's get into God's Word and let's study it and be able to allow Him to answer the questions that we may have. Because I'll say this, when you ask God questions, when you take things to God, He has answers, doesn't He? So on our end, we speak to Him, and we may perhaps at times have questions, but then when we go to His Word and He speaks to us, He has the answers, doesn't He? That's the way the communication works. We go to God in prayer, and we ask Him for the answers that we may need in life, and then He has the answers, we'll give Him the questions, and He has the answers in His Word, doesn't He? As a matter of fact, we would say that very thing about this book, wouldn't we? We would say this book has the answers for everything that we will ever face in life. It's not a book that we would say is not practical for 2021. It is, isn't it? It's a book that is very practical for the day that we live in, and as long as we are on this earth, as long as Jesus tarries, until He comes again, this book is alive, this book speaks to our heart, and this book helps to increase our faith. So take things to God, ask Him for things, and then wait for His answers. He will answer you as you look into His Word, and He helps you to increase your faith. Let's look at a couple verses that will encourage us with this. Let's go back to James chapter 1. Now remember, in James chapter 1, we read verse 6 this morning, but right before verse number 6, James gives us an encouragement. He says, there's some times in your Christian life where you're going to feel like you lack wisdom. Has anybody ever felt that way? Where you lack wisdom, you're just saying, Lord, I need some wisdom for this situation that I'm about ready to face. Well, it goes back to what we said just a second ago. One of the ways to remove doubt or to dismiss doubt in our lives is just to ask God. Well, He's encouraging us here in James chapter 1 and verse number 5. He says, if any of you lack wisdom. Now, wisdom is something that God wants to give us. Wisdom is the ability that we have as Christians to see things God's way. See things the way that God wants us to see them. To be a wise individual and to live in wisdom. See, He says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. Isn't it great to know that the promise of God is given, that if we ask God for something, he's going to give us. Now, this particular subject here is wisdom, and he says that I'm going to give you enough wisdom for what you need that wisdom for. I'm going to help you to understand what you need to do. I'll give you guidance. I'll give you direction. I'll give you the wisdom that you need. And then he says, I'm not going to scold you for asking. He abradeth not, he says. I'm not going to scold you for asking, but I want you to come to me. I want you to ask me. And so remember that truth when it comes to doubt, that we would just go to God. We would ask him for what we need. We'd be encouraged by his word as we look into it. Look with me, if you would, at John chapter 20, just giving you a few verses here of scripture that go along with our thought that we're giving. John chapter number 20. And I would say, if we were to take, if we were to ask this question today, in by way of the message, which by the way is exactly what we're talking about today, we're talking about doubting. Who would be the Bible character that we would go to that we would use the reference of doubting with? We would say, and matter of fact, it even many times is described with his name, isn't it? Doubting Thomas, wouldn't we? We go to the story of Thomas, how he doubted, even as one of Jesus' disciples. Really, that ought to, when it comes to doubting, really ought to almost give us comfort, shouldn't it? That if it's one of Jesus' closest, his inner circle there, his disciples, and they had moments of doubt, we as Christians can have moments of doubt, can't we? John the Baptist in prison, one of certainly the forerunner of Jesus Christ, but yet his faith wavered at times. Thomas here, his faith wavering. And so notice what the Bible says in John chapter 20 and verse number 14. It says this, John 20 and verse 24. That's why it didn't look right. Verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So Jesus comes and appears before his disciples. And of course, this is after his resurrection, after rising from the grave. And the Bible says in verse 25, and the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. A lack of faith, a faith that is wavering. And that's why we refer to him as Doubting Thomas. We call him doubting because he's doubting the fact that Jesus had risen from the grave, even though they as eyewitnesses are saying, hey, we saw this. We saw him with our own eyes. But then notice what the Bible says in verse 26. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within. And Thomas with them, then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. He knew that Thomas was going to have to, he was going to have to visualize the nail prints. He was going to have to actually touch Jesus in order to believe. And so he says to Thomas, go ahead. If you lack faith, if your faith's wavering, go ahead, reach out and touch me. Notice what he says at the end of verse number 27. He says, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas, don't doubt. Believe. You know, I've said this so often, but it is true in our world. They'll say, well, you show it to me, and then I'll believe. But God wants us to do just opposite of that, doesn't he? He wants us to believe, and then he says, and then you'll see. Believe, and you'll see. Thomas had to see first, though. He had to visualize it. He had to actually touch Jesus. Notice what the Bible says in verse 28. And Thomas answered and said unto him, what a picture of now the way that his faith has changed. He says, my Lord and my God. There's no doubt who you are. Thomas says to him, my Lord and my God, you have risen from the grave. But then I love what Jesus says, because this passage of Scripture is not done, is it? Notice what Jesus says to Thomas. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Then he talks about us, doesn't he? Really, it's a reference to us. He says, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Hey, I wasn't there when Jesus died, but I have put my faith in the fact that he's done it. I've never seen heaven, but I'm thankful for the day I'm going to get to go there. And you know, it is possible to believe and then see. To be able to put our faith in God first and then be able to see. And that's what he's asking from us. How do we conquer doubt? We go to him. We go to him in prayer and we ask him. And then we are able to see the promises that he has for us in his word. Answers to perhaps even questions that we have. Look at 1 John chapter 5 if you would. I know 1 John is a book that gives us great assurance when it comes to our salvation. Matter of fact, 1 John is a great book to go to be able to encourage us when it comes to the assurance of our salvation. The fact that when Jesus said he would do something, he did it. And notice what the Bible says in 1 John chapter number 5 and down to verse number 13. It says this, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." Now those of us tonight that are sitting in here that have given testimony to the time that we've believed on the name of the Son of God, this is for us, isn't it? He said, "Hey, these are the things that I've written unto you, those that have believed on the name of the Son of God, that ye may..." What's he say there? No. No. We don't have to doubt. He doesn't say you can hope. He doesn't say it's a thing that is a maybe. There's no question mark there, is there? He says that you may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. There's the belief, isn't it? We can know it. Why? Because we have a record, don't we? And you know that record is found in the Word of God, isn't it? We have a record of the promises of God. That's why we have to ask Him for things. Go to Him when we have needs, ask Him for faith, ask Him to increase our faith, and then turn to His Word, because His Word is going to be the place, the source, that we will find the answers. So when you're reading God's Word, focus, as you're reading on God's Word, focus on the things that you do understand, and not so much worrying about what you don't. Sometimes people will say, "Well, that's why my faith kind of wavers a little bit, because I read through the Word of God and there are some parts in there that I don't understand." And you know what? That will probably be true when you read God's Word. I remember there was a time years ago when I was working with some of our teenagers here that I had a teenager come to me and they said these words. They said, I know that you always encourage us to read the Bible. I know that you talk about that all the time. You put out these Bible reading schedules. You try to encourage us to read our Bible. But I just want to be honest with you. I don't read the Bible because I do not understand it. And my answer to that teenager was this. You're probably, as you read the Bible, you're probably going to understand more than what you don't understand. You think of the illustration. We could even go to the book of Genesis. We could start out at the very beginning of the Bible and we could read through Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter number 2, and there probably will not be too many verses in even the first two chapters of the Bible that we wouldn't understand, because God makes it pretty clear, I've created everything, doesn't He? And He lays it all out for us. Hey, there were 6 days, and in those 6 days, I've created everything that is around us. So I tried to encourage that teenager. I tried to say, you're going to, when you read God's Word, you're going to understand more than you don't understand. Think about all the books in the Bible and the passages that are just so clear for us to understand. But then another truth that I tried to establish in their heart was this: if you don't read it, you're certainly never going to understand it. You're never going to get to a point where you ever understand it. So what does God want us to do with His Word? He wants us to have faith to read it and to apply it. And then if there are times that we say, I'm lacking faith with some things because I maybe don't understand everything, that's where His Holy Spirit comes in, doesn't it? And His Holy Spirit helps us to understand His Word. Now, sometimes understanding the Bible, I will say this, sometimes understanding the Bible does take some work, doesn't it? Because sometimes we have to study. And we may have to dive into a passage a little bit more than maybe perhaps what we would have to do with another one. But we certainly, with God's Holy Spirit helping us, do have the ability to understand God's Word. So let's get in it. Let's not doubt God's Word. Let's take him at his word and remember his promises. And then number two tonight is this. Number one, I said to answer this question, how is it that we can overcome doubt? We've got to ask God for things. Ask him to increase our faith. Ask him to help us when it comes to a lack of faith or a lack of believing in God. And then turn to his word. He has the answers for us. But the second one I'm going to say tonight goes along with what we said this morning when we talked about how that at times we can doubt our salvation. The second thought tonight is this: how to overcome doubt. Always rely on the facts of God's word and never rely on our feelings. Always rely on the facts of God's word and never rely on our feelings. I want to go to a few passages of Scripture. One of them certainly, well, they're all going to be an encouragement to us. One of them is going to be very familiar. It's the story of Job and all the things that Job went through. Look with me, if you would, at Job chapter 23. And then I want to read a verse for you from the book of Psalm. Job chapter 23. And this is going to remind us tonight of this truth, that when we desire to have our doubt conquered and not allow doubt to be a hindrance in the race, we have to rely on facts and not rely on feelings. Look at what Job chapter 23 says. And remember now, Job is in the midst of a situation in which his friends are telling him that all of these things that have happened to him are happening to him because he sinned, because he's done something he shouldn't have done. But Job is assured of the fact that he has kept his integrity. He's been pure before God. And he is not certainly not with full confidence understanding everything God is doing to him. But this passage of Scripture helps us to realize that he is trusting God, though. He's not trusting his feelings as much as he's trusting the fact that God is good and he can be relied upon. Look at what it says in Job chapter 23 and down to verse number 8. It says this: "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him." It's almost Job's way of saying what we would say: I don't understand everything that God's doing. I don't understand everything God's doing. I don't know that I would do it that way. Remember, I told you this morning we would get back to this tonight. I don't know that I would have done it that way. There's probably many a circumstance in your life where you would say, you know, I don't know that I would have done it the way that God chose to do it. I don't know if the plan that he had for me, or maybe perhaps one of my loved ones, or a situation in my life, was exactly the plan that I would have had. You know, I would imagine that not only Job could say that, but I would imagine we could turn back to the first part of the Bible in the book of Genesis, and I would say Joseph probably could have said that. I mean, here, Dad gives me this coat of many colors, and all of a sudden, my brothers begin to hate me. They're very jealous of me. They throw me into a pit. They sell me into slavery, but God meant it unto good, didn't he? There was a reason behind all this. And you know, when I'm spending those extra 2 years in prison, it's almost as if, God, I don't see you. You know, I'm looking around for you. I'm looking on the left. I'm looking on the right. I'm looking forward. I'm looking backward. And it's almost like I don't see you. You're not there. There's got to be a reason why I'm going through this, but I don't understand it yet. But notice the comfort of what Job says in verse 10. Here's what's encouraging for us. He says, "But he knoweth the way that I take." He may not, understand everything that I'm going through, and I may not understand the exact path that he has me on, but I have the confidence to know that he does. He knows the way that I take, and notice what he says at the end of the verse. What an encouragement for us. "When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." The same illustration that Ron Hamilton had in mind when he wrote that hymn, "Rejoice in the Lord." God never moves, he says, without purpose or plan. "For when I am tried and purified," remember what Ron Hamilton said in the song, "I shall come forth as gold." He may not have understood why at that time he had to have his eye removed, but look at the way God has used Ron Hamilton, or maybe affectionately we could say Patch the Pirate, right? The way that God has used his life. If you don't know who Patch the Pirate is, I tell you what, you let me know that and I'll get you some things so you can listen to him. What a great man of God Ron Hamilton has been used to be for the Lord. He may not have understood all the things he went through, but aren't you glad that we can trust God? Why? Because we're not basing it on feelings. We're not basing it on all the circumstances that we're going through that make us feel a certain way. But we're basing it on the fact that we serve a good God. Look with me, if you would, at Psalm 18. And then we'll stay in Psalm because there's one more verse I want to look at in Psalm. Look at Psalm 18 and down with me, if you would, at verse number 30. Psalm 18 and verse number 30, the Bible says this. As for God, it says, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that, notice the last three words, trust in Him. Not to have a faith that's wavering, not to have doubting, but to trust in Him. And those are the individuals that God says He is a buckler unto. Let's learn, as the psalmist says, that God, as for God, His way is perfect. He makes no mistakes. And although maybe according to my feelings, I am wondering where He is, and I might not see His presence all around me at times, He is there, and He does not make mistakes. So let's trust the facts. Now, where are the facts found? They're found in God's Word, aren't they? And we can trust the truths of Scripture, and we can trust that what God says is true. Don't allow feelings to confuse the truth. Don't allow feelings to confuse the facts. Don't allow feelings to cause you to doubt. Look with me, if you would, at Psalm 34. We used this verse a couple years ago for our theme verse for Bible time. And we had Bible time here one summer, and we were using that. We had the theme of, remember the candy theme we had? You remember that one? Boy, that was a highlight one, wasn't it? No child's not going to want to come to a Bible time where they're giving away candy. I'll tell you what, they love that candy theme. And we use this Bible verse, and it's such an encouragement to us. Look at Psalm 34, verse number 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Hey, you want to go through some, you want to go to some promises in God's Word? Here's one right here. I don't have to base things on facts. I can just look around and see that God is good. Hey, I've experienced it. I can see the fact that He is good to me. Look at what He says at the end of the verse number 8. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Hey, let's put our trust in God. Let's put our confidence in Him. Not our feelings. I talked about it this morning. Not our feelings, but in the facts of God's Word, in our faith, in the promises of Scripture. And I chose to go to Psalm 34, verse number 8, just to prove to you that you could go all through the Bible and you could be able to experience the facts that God is good and that He can be counted on, He's trustworthy, and all we have to do is go through Scripture. Well, I tell you, it'll encourage us, and we'll put away the doubts quickly, and it won't be a hindrance in the race. So number one was this, we ask God. Ask God to increase our faith. Ask Him to help us. Help thou mine unbelief. Go to His Word. Trust the facts instead of the feelings. But then the third one is this, I really hope this will encourage you. When it comes to conquering our doubt, making it so that doubt is not a hindrance in the race, this will be a great encouragement to you, I hope. Get to the place where you are daily picking up your shield. You're daily picking up your shield. You say, what are you talking about? There's the Christian armor that's mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6 in there. One of those pieces of armor is the shield of faith, isn't it? When you have moments where you start to doubt, here's what God says. I've given you in the Christian race some armor to wear. And one of those pieces of armor is a shield. And the Bible tells us that you're able to pick up that shield of faith. And I want you to notice this in Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 16. Even the way He describes this shield that He has for us. We're to put on that belt of truth and, of course, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shoes of the gospel of peace. We've got that offensive weapon of the sword of the Spirit. But He says, I also have a piece of armor for you to hold in your hand. And He says it's the shield of faith. And notice what the Bible says the shield of faith will do. He says, above all. By the way, just those first two words are encouragements to us right there, because He says you've put on the belt. You put on the breastplate. You've got the shoes on. You've got the helmet on. But He says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Now notice this. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now a soldier would never want to go into battle without proper protection, would he? He'd want to make sure he was protected as best as he could possibly be protected. And one of those ways God says the Christian soldier is protected is your shield of faith. Your trust in Him. So that when the devil does light that dart And he's ready to shoot that arrow at you. And it's an arrow of doubt. You have your shield of faith, don't you? And you're able to hold up that shield of faith so you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, because at times the enemy may send the fiery dart of doubt. And as Christians, let's make sure we conquer our doubt by daily putting these pieces of armor on. And we talked about these a couple weeks ago in Sunday school, and certainly all of us as Christians would understand that these are pieces that are invisible, obviously, in the Christian race, but we're to put them on every day, aren't we? And so it might be as simple as to each morning when we wake up to list these pieces of armor in our prayer time and say, Lord, help me to put on the belt of truth. I'm going to need it today. Help me to put on the breastplate of righteousness, that helmet of salvation, my feet to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And Lord, above all, help me to take the shield of faith. Because the devil's going to try to defeat me today. The devil's going to try to discourage me today. The devil's going to try to send doubts my way. But I'm thankful, God, that you've given me the shield of faith. And so let us conquer the enemy with our shield of faith. Don't let the doubt that the devil sends your way discourage you as a Christian. Let's move on quickly. And one of the ways we do that is with our shield of faith. But then the last one is this. This is where you and I come in together. The third one. How are we going to conquer our doubt? Let's surround ourselves as Christians and Christian brothers and sisters. Let's surround ourselves with one another as we encourage one another. Let's make sure we're surrounded by Christians that will encourage us. What a great way to conquer doubt. What a great way to conquer discouragement. To surround ourselves, one another, encouraging each other in our faith. Let's make sure we keep our faith strong so that we can encourage others that are around us. Let's make sure we're surrounding ourselves with Christians that we can talk to and we can ask questions perhaps to, and we can learn some things that God has put them through. Some things that God has taught them. So it'll encourage me to have faith as I move on in the Christian race that God has me in. You know, the Christian life, just like we talk about it being a race, the Christian life is a journey. And in that journey, I like what Scott Pauley says. Some of you know Scott Pauley. He's an evangelist. And by the way, he's an evangelist from West Virginia. I figured I'd get one amen there. Oh, maybe two. Brother Tom's here too. All right, so a couple of folks from West Virginia. Brother Scott Pauley, he has this little thing he does on his website, and he calls it enjoying the journey. And what he's talking about is, you know, Christian life's a journey, and we ought to enjoy it. But in this journey that we call the Christian life, our faith needs to grow stronger every single day, doesn't it? We're journeying for the Lord, and our faith needs to grow. And so what have we talked about today? We've got to seek truth. We've got to get in the Word of God so our faith will grow. We've got to trust God's answers. They may not be the ones that we expected or the ones that we would have given, but we trust God for His answers. And we learn to develop a bold faith as we live for Jesus, a confidence that He can do what others around us may think is the impossible. Aren't you thankful you serve a God like that? Let's trust Him. Let's not doubt. Let's not have doubt as a hindrance in the race, but let's press on. Remember what we said to the Galatian Christians, or what Paul said to the Galatian Christians. Who was it that hindered you? Sometimes it's a who, sometimes it's a what that hinders us, and sometimes it can be discouragement, and sometimes it can be doubt. Hey, let's not stay in those places long. Let's not let them hinder us long in the race, but let's press forward for the Lord. Let's live in encouragement. Let's make sure we're living a life that we believe, and we don't have a faith that wavers. We don't have doubts, but we live believing God, taking His Word and trusting it, relying upon it. Let's close our heads and close our eyes this evening. And while we draw this preaching time to a close here, we're going to give you just